Father, thank you for lifting the veil that we might see the face of our Lord. Thank you for shining light into the darkness and bringing us out. Pray that you be with us now as we meditate on your word together. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Today is the last time that I will give a sermon as a CCA clergy from this pulpit. And many of you, most of you probably are aware of that, although we have some new faces each Sunday too. Some of you may be your first time. But those of you that have been here for a while, or as long as I have or longer, you are probably wondering what I might say today, since you know this is the last sermon that I will be preaching here as a clergy. Many of you know that I have been known for some interesting illustrations that have caught your attention. Some of you still remind me at times, even some of the little ones. Seeing things about turtles or Johnny Cash or 90s grunge and alternative music or dragons or just stories about when I was a little kid or as a teenager, have lots of those. But what I want to share with you during this final sermon is actually the same thing that I've wanted to share with you in every sermon, and it was the point of every illustration. It's what I want to share in every sermon that I'm going to preach at Grace by the Sea, and wherever the Lord leads me in this life. There's really just one major focus that I really want to proclaim in every service, in every sermon. And there's not much, there couldn't have been a better passage in our liturgy today than the passage from 2 Corinthians for what I want to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what Paul and all the apostles proclaimed. That is what every faithful minister of the gospel has proclaimed from that time to today and will claim until Christ returns. That is what the church proclaims. There is nothing more important that I could share with you today or any day than that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some of you have been Christians your whole life, some of you for as long as me, and some of you double the time as me. And you may be thinking, well, I know that already. Why do you want to proclaim that so much? You already believe and you joyfully confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, let me ask you, who do you think Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians? He wasn't writing to the general Corinthian community, to those that did not believe, that did not confess Christ as Lord, though I'm sure he hoped that they were listening. But he actually tells us, he makes it very clear who he's writing to in the very first chapter of the very first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, not by his own strength, not by his own speaking ability or impressiveness, but by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints, and saints, as a reminder, are not the super special Christians. That is every person who's put their faith in Christ. That means Christians. So to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints, with all the Christians who are in the whole of Achaia, that region where Corinth was located. So Paul also, he knows that these people are Christian, and he wants to write them and remind them that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Why does he want to keep proclaiming this truth? I believe he does so because he knows that in this world, until Jesus returns, there are still those who have not renounced the shameful things that one hides, and who continue to practice cunning, and who falsify and distort God's word. Some of the people that do that, Paul knew, were more impressive than him. They were more winsome than him. They were better looking and stronger and younger. They were cooler than Paul. They were smarter. They had better illustrations than Paul. And they were much, much better public speakers. And Paul knew that at times the Corinthians' hearts could be pulled away by such impressiveness impressiveness that he knew he did not have. Thankfully for us, though, those things never impress us, right? And also, you know, the never-ceasing pressure of our culture to conform to everything that it thinks the way we should live and do and think and be. All of the cool and smart, popular people in our life, the famous people, our cool non-Christian friends, none of that stuff ever affects us. It never gets to us. It never makes us doubt for a second that following Jesus really is the most life-giving way to order our life. None of that ever gets to us, right? We want that to be right. Sometimes it's right. But we all know very well how easily our hearts are captured by the promises, the fleeting promises of this world. We know how fast, how quick our hearts are prone to wonder. And that is why we Christians need to over and over and over again be reminded of this truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That changes everything for us. Absolutely everything in our life, if Jesus Christ is Lord. The way we think about, the way we look at everything, the way our relationships with each other. And it gives us hope. True hope that cannot be taken away. So Paul tells the Corinthians, if you're paying attention to me, trying to, you know, think if I'm impressive or not, stop it. Don't pay attention to me. I know I'm not impressive. I know I'm not some great, awesome speaker. I'm just Paul. But he also says, if you don't think I'm impressive, just remember, you're not really that impressive either. This is the reality. We're all just mortal flesh. It doesn't matter how cool or smart or good looking or whatever temporary gifts you have that are fleeting, that are impressive. We're all mortal flesh. We're all going to lose those gifts at some point. We're going to grow old. We are going to die unless Christ returns first. So we are no more impressive. Paul points out we're no more impressive than these little clay jars, these earthen vessels, these little clay pots that are just used to store anything. They're very breakable and fragile, very, very common, inexpensive. We're no more impressive than these little clay pots. So he wants the Corinthians, and he wants us to fix our hearts and our minds on Jesus, who is Lord. He is the one who has filled up our little clay pot selves with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul also keeps telling them that he says, you know, I don't have this ministry because I'm such a great guy. We do know that Paul was a pretty smart guy, actually. He was actually an Old Testament scholar. But he never points to that. He never says, you should listen to me because I'm so smart about the Old Testament. I'm such a good Old Testament scholar. He does not put his confidence in that. Because there's always somebody else smarter. There's always somebody. Ask any of our PhDs here in this room. There's always somebody in the field that knows more than them or knows another area of the field better than them. Now, Paul puts his confidence in something else. We see it right there in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Paul knew that his ministry was completely by the mercy of God. Every true minister of God's goodness and grace has his or her ministry only by the mercy and goodness of God. I'm only up here right now because of God's goodness and mercy to me. I've only had the joy of serving here at CCA these last 7 years because of his goodness and mercy to me. And so I am putting a brackets here in the sermon to stop for a moment and say, thank you. Thank you, members of CCA, even if you're new here or if you've been here longer than me, because you have been so good to me and kind to me. You've prayed for me. You have been gracious to me, patient with me. You've ministered to me, and you've loved me. So thank you. I thank God for for you. I understand, I think, better now than I ever have when Paul writes to all these different, to the Corinthians and the other, these other people he writes these letters to, and he's always thanking God for them. I understand it better than I ever have before. I will miss you very, very much. I have a new rector position waiting for me on a beautiful island in Washington, only because of God's incredible mercy to me, not because I'm so special. I get to continue to serve God's people for Jesus' sake, only because of his incredible mercy to me. And what exactly is this incredible mercy of God? It's right here in verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Apart from the one true God, who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Apart from the one who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and that and drew us out of that darkness, drew me out of that darkness, I would not be here today proclaiming to you one more time that Jesus Christ is Lord. I would be somewhere still in darkness, trying to somehow proclaim myself to you and to anybody else who would listen. I would want to be proclaiming to you, trying to convince you somehow that I'm actually a really good-looking vessel, really important, really valuable, and unbreakable. I would want you to believe that if I were still in that darkness. I would not want you to know that I'm a simple, fragile, little clay pot. I want to highlight one more thing that Paul points out to the Corinthians, that he says to them. Multiple times in his ministry, Paul had literally been beaten and imprisoned, driven out of town. He had to face things like shipwrecks, all for just wanting to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherever the Holy Spirit led him, whatever danger he would face, he would not stop proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so in these final verses in our passage today, verses 8 through 12, he says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Professional ministry is hard. I have never met an honest minister. I don't know if I've met a dishonest minister who would say, "Ministry is easy. Easy gig, easiest job in the world, only work one day a week." Only someone who has never seriously observed the life of a faithful minister could ever utter that joke in earnest. Eugene Peterson once said that professional ministry is dangerous to the soul. So, I would ask you to continue to pray for me, to pray for Father Chase, to pray for, even after, I think I'm not retired yet, so I don't know what it's like afterwards, but I think you need to still keep praying for Father Jim and Mother Bree, Deacon Matt, even though he's not on staff, the Lord has, there are many hard things that come to his table that he's praying for, that he needs your prayers for. And for Bishop Keith, and for every faithful minister of the gospel who proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord, pray for them. And also, especially pray for those ministers who face not just the normal hardships, emotional weight of ministry, but those who are like Paul. They will not stop even if they are imprisoned and they are tortured. They're driven out of their homelands. They are even put to death. Please pray for those pastors. They're still there. They're still in our world. It's still happening. They need your prayers, that they would always continue to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. because Jesus Christ is Lord, because of the treasure we carry around in our little clay pot selves, which works life in all who believe, it is worth every danger and risk to keep proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul tells us why in verse 17, a little bit past our reading today. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is what we have in store for us, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This reality, this truth, is not just for professional ministers like me or Mother Bree or Father Chase. This is for all the saints, for all you Christians, just like the ones in Corinth. We are all called to share the good news of this great treasure that we have been given in our little clay pot selves. Do you think you aren't strong enough? That you aren't smart enough? That you aren't old enough? That you aren't fill in the blank enough? Of course you're not. That's the whole point. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to ourselves. We're just the little clay pots that have been filled with this unbelievable treasure. So keep sharing it with people. Who cares if somebody makes fun of you or mocks you for your faith? It's too valuable not to share. This treasure is too great. And what we're waiting for, this unimaginable gift that's waiting for us, who cares what anybody else says? Keep sharing it. So I do have one last little illustration to share with you. But it's kind of cheesy. It's not very good. But I'm hoping maybe you'll still remember it anyway. For I think everyone is from this country in this room at this service, so I don't think I have to explain. But this is a little kid's song, and I assume that everybody knows it. I'm a little teapot. Great, thank you. When you hear that song in the future, or when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the future, I hope maybe you might remember this. I want to change the words to that song a little bit. I'm a little clay pot full of treasure. I know it's bad. It doesn't work. The syllables don't line up. I really thought about how to do it better. But I'm hoping it sticks. Because it's true. I'm a little clay pot full of treasure. This illustration might be a weak little illustration, just like you and I are weak little clay pots. But I pray the Lord might use it to remind you often of this treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord.